Greetings, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, sawadee, kurup, guten tag, jawivi, va, kat, bang, jai, janendra, half a day, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan, peace, how, go vegan, from the left coast of the genetically mutated McNugget pharmaceutical, vivisection, prison, military, industrial, core, poor nation, in the post-constitutional, cheese-covered, bankrupt, bribocratic, corruptocracy, mocracy, criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, home of Uncle Sam Manila, where they sure eat a lot of dead animals. This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Happy Labor Day weekend. If you do labor for a living, of course, you celebrate by, well, taking a day off because you hate your job so much. And of course, if you find yourself out of a job at this moment, as so many people do, well, you can celebrate it as if you had a job that you hated and you're taking a day off. Go eat at a vegan restaurant, okay, since you're unemployed and can't afford health insurance. Well, going vegan will just have to be your health insurance. You know, I'll bet someone who's really happiest to have a day off for Labor Day, that would have to be the slaughterhouse worker, don't you think? The most dangerous job in America, slaughterhouse worker, and so demeaning, so sad to go against all of your natural instincts and just kill, kill, kill for a job, you know, and it's just a dangerous place for everyone. About a third of all slaughterhouse workers are seriously injured or sickened every year by this most dangerous job. Number one, most dangerous job, slaughterhouse worker. And you can imagine slippery floors and blood everywhere and blades and hooks and animals kicking, you know, for their lives and you know, forklifts and grinders and, you know, animals falling on top of you and, your Happy Meal is almost ready, huh? Decapitation isn't uncommon, you know, just for the animals, or the non-human animals, because decapitation happens to the humans too. If you are injured as a slaughterhouse worker, don't take any time off because, you'll get fired for taking time off for your injury. And how can you not get injured, right? I mean, how can you not get sick? Slaughterhouse workers are subjected to exposure to caustic substances and chlorine and ammonia and feces and vomit. Apparently those are the secret ingredients in your secret sauce, huh? Of your cadaver-eating life, of a menu of death and disease and injury. About a third of slaughterhouse workers suffer serious injury annually, and 100% turnover in that industry. Upton Sinclair in The Jungle, writing about slaughterhouse workers in Chicago, said, quote, "And as for the other men who worked in tank rooms full of steam, and in some of which there were open vats near the level of the floor, their peculiar trouble was that they fell into the vats, when they were fished out, there was never enough of them left to be worth exhibiting. Sometimes they would be overlooked for days till all but the bones of them had gone out to the world as Durham's pure leaf lard." So we're talking about men falling into scalding tanks there at floor level. You can't fish them out. Strange word, fish them out. But and then they become the lard, huh? The workers in the most dangerous job in America, slaughterhouse workers. Yes, please enjoy your day off, slaughterhouse workers. May you be off every day. Wouldn't that be great, huh? Demeaning, sad job it must be. And, you know, Holy cow. You know, I mean, you can see a slaughterhouse worker may want a holiday off from work, and any day when you can avoid becoming a pidge of lard should be celebrated as a holiday. Although, well, for slaughterhouse workers, time away from work is often spent engaged in spousal abuse and heavy drinking, as you might expect. Slaughterhouse workers showing violence at home also, as they have to do on the job. They just don't seem to go home and have those hobbies to take mind off of violence. Their life is so full of it. Although there was one slaughterhouse worker, well, actually a pig farmer, who was able to combine his work and hobby in a very creative way. We reported on him, Go Vegan with Bob Linden, some years ago. He's serving time right now, a sentence that he received in 2007, life imprisonment. He does have a chance for parole 22 years from now. You remember Canadian Robert William Willie Picton? His work was a pig farmer, you know, killing pigs. His hobby? Well, he was a serial killer of women, and Mr. Picton did mix business with pleasure. Robert William Willie Picton had his own idea of what the other white meat is. And for a while there in Canada, you know, well, a lot of people thought that women were real pigs, you know, as they ate them. Yes, pig and woman killer, pig and woman killer Robert Picton mixed the pig flesh with the women's flesh. Have you ever wondered what human meat would taste like? I think most people would say, "Oh, I bet it tastes like chicken, huh?" Well, I'm guessing more like pork or ham or bacon. At least it seems that women would taste more like pork or ham or bacon, apparently, as we witness up in Canada there. And apparently men seem to make a better lard, according to Upton St. Clair. Wouldn't the world be a much better place if slaughterhouse workers had every day off from now on? Every day. You know, a constant vacation. We should just subsidize their lives so they don't bring the kind of just all the problems of the world, right? But then again, so much of the labor in this country is dependent on their work. You know, our sick economy is based on animal exploitation. So if the slaughterhouse workers are out of work, then what happens? A slaughterhouse worker unemployment would lead to the unemployment of doctors and unemployment of vivisectors, morticians, and fuel workers, all of those vivisectors, you know, those mad scientists, those weird animal experimenters, hard at work right now. Well, they have the weekend off. The animals are happy for one day. All of them working, torturing animals to find a cure for meat and dairy-caused diseases, you know. So, anyway, stop vivisection, right? Test on Jerry, test on Jerry. It's Labor Day weekend. Don't worry, vivisectors. As long as you have Jerry, you'll always have that yearly cash flow, so you can torture some more animals. Yeah, get those mice, and you know, after all these years, huh? Millions of dollars, millions of animals. Where's the cure, huh? And where has all that MDA money gone, huh? Plastic surgery for Jerry, huh? Test on Jerry, test on Jerry, huh? And also, I mean, it always because you always have to test on humans at some point anyway. Did you see his big quote, Jerry, and all the entertainment shows recently in the past few days? Jerry saying, you know, lady, well, you know, saying that lady. It's the only imitation I ever do is like a Jerry Lewis saying lady, and I never thought I'd have the opportunity to use it on Clear Channel to make a point. But anyway, Jerry was talking about that lady Lindsay Lohan, and he said what he would do, he would just smack her in the mouth, just smack her in the mouth. That's his solution. He says, you know, that those kids today, they need help. Jerry's kids, is that the kind of help Jerry's kids get? A smack in the mouth? Oh, if that's what the kids get, imagine what happens to the animals and the experiments funded by Jerry and the money he collects. Could it be anything similar to what happens to the dogs in an Ohio State University laboratory? You have to hear this one coming up later on the program. We'll be talking to Jason Miller about that and other animal rights activities deep in the heart of this country. Jason Miller, founder of Thomas Paine's Corner and a press officer from the North American Animal Liberation Press Office. And my thanks to everyone following us on Twitter, where we are Go Vegan Radio. And on Facebook, the page is Bob Linden, L-I-N-D-E-N. Please be my friend on Facebook. I'm lonely. I need friends. I don't think Veg News is my friend anymore. One of the... big news stories. Before we get to Veg News, one of the big news stories, upon which we are getting many tweets because we recently had Dr. Shiv Chopra on food safety, who suggests that meat and dairy are not kosher or halal because cows are fed pigs. A lot of people said they never really thought about that. And, Hormel Foods, Agri-Nutrition has thought about that. Get this, or get this in your kosher or halal burger, or your kosher or halal dairy. This is from Hormel Foods Agri-Nutrition. Dairy building on milk protein. How do they do this? Through the use of pig meat and pig bone meal and pig blood meal, saying a more protein-rich cow's milk can be produced if you give the cows pig meat, pig bone meal, pig blood meal. It says that's more efficient than using sources of protein such as soybean meal. So something not kosher about that, wouldn't you say? Imagine when you're grilling that kosher, halal, pig-free dead animal, or not pig-free, pig-fed dead animal. You might as well be burning the Bible or burning the Quran, and, you're not a book burner, are you? Of course not, when you can be burning Veg News, huh? I don't know, I'm burning Veg News because it insulted the people who make the chocolate coconut banana cream cake that I love so much. I am right in the midst of one of the most bizarre, incomprehensible situations, witnessing a disgraceful, unjustifiable character assassination of a wonderful Asian spiritual teacher and her followers who do so much good in the world. I don't know, it's a sad betrayal of the ideals of the compassionate vegan lifestyle going on right now. I mean, it's also taken a magazine, Veg News, that's been so beloved for so many years, and suddenly the reputation of Veg News seems to be in the toilet with so many people. Nobody understands really how Veg News could blunder so badly and what its motivation could possibly be. People are they're suspicious, they're upset. We'll tell you about it, what people are writing, posting, on my Bob Linden Facebook page and Will Tuttle site, worldpeacediet.org. We'll be talking to Will Tuttle in a few minutes here. People demanding an apology, a retraction from Veg News. Practically anybody could write a better article than that witch hunt by Abigail Young. Valentina Gilmore wrote, for example, to Veg News, quote, Qinghai means ocean of love in Chinese. Please stop throwing your dirt in that ocean and apologize. The writing from people who are so offended by the Veg News travesty reflects a very loving reaction to a really shocking attack, even using the C word here. Yes, the C word. We'll examine the use of the C word with Dr. Will Tittle, the C word meaning cult, and we are going to examine a very strange cult that has just emerged, a strange cult of apparently self-loathing, vegan-hating vegan journalists. I don't really understand what's going on here. We'll talk to Will Tuttle about that strange cult of vegan-hating vegan journalists who think the best way to help the vegan movement is to hurt the vegan movement somehow. Okay, I know you don't understand what this story, it's incomprehensible. We will explore the incomprehensible coming up today on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. We are listener supported. I want to thank the cult following I have over the years of listeners who have actually donated so that we can purchase by the airtime. We do so with your tax-deductible donations, which you can make at goveganradio.org or make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio. Mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. Thank you. Do you know the way to eat in San Jose? A special treat, no meat in San Jose. It's Vegetarian House Organic Vegan Restaurant, 520 East Santa Clara Street, downtown San Jose. Vegetarian House, a world-class dining experience since 1994, featuring fine cuisine from around the world. Vietnam, China, Thailand, India, Europe, the Middle East, and the Americas. Made from local organic GMO-free ingredients. Sauces, bean curd, and noodles made in-house. Powered by rooftop solar panels, Vegetarian House, concerned with the environment, compassion for animals, and your health, offers to-go packaging that's biodegradable and compostable. See the extensive menu at vegetarianhouse.us, including appetizers, soups, salad sandwiches, dazzling desserts, organic fruit and vegetable juices. Vegetarian House, 520 East Santa Clara Street, San Jose. Catering available. Open for weekday lunch specials from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Dinner 5 to 9. Saturday and Sunday 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Call 408-292-3798. VegetarianHouse.us.
This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Listener supported. You can donate online at goveganradio.org. Also, if you have vegan and cruelty-free products and services, you can advertise them here affordably, and that helps us pay for the airtime. Free speech is expensive. We have to purchase radio airtime each and every week, as we've done for almost 10 years now. It'll be 10 years in January. And, you know, we have this this controversy started by what I feel is a disgraceful article in Veg News, a mean-spirited witch hunt hatchet job on Supreme Master Ching Hai and her followers. Oh, incidentally, I probably should mention first a disclaimer, because on the Bay Area Animal Rights Network Yahoo group, someone posted saying, well, is Bob so outraged because they sponsor my show? And so, yes, I apologize for not listing sponsorship of Go Vegan with Bob Linden as part of the good that Supreme Master Ching Hai and her followers do in advertising the vegan food available at their restaurants. So I'll add that to the list of disaster relief. They're in Pakistan right now. Also starting the first chain of vegan restaurants worldwide, organizing conferences on global warming, and giving us Supreme Master Television with some of the most valuable content related to compassion for animals and the environment and human health available anywhere. So, yes, I add to the list. We now blame Supreme Master Ching Hai and her followers for helping to support this show. We have to pay for the airtime. So with that disclaimer, okay, then I'm not the only one outraged, and I don't see any ads for Loving Hut in the World Peace Diet as I thumb through it here. So so we'll get an untainted perspective from Dr. Will Tuttle, who is the author of The World Peace Diet, Eating for Spiritual Health and Social Harmony. Welcome again to Go Vegan. How are you, Will?
Hi, Bob. Thank you for having me on, and I actually cannot say that I am untainted, because I personally feel I've been blessed by Supreme Master Qinghai and her students for many years just by their presence. You know, I haven't gotten any money from them. In fact, the amazing thing, though, is you can't, sometimes I've tried to give them money, and I've never been able to give them a penny, I don't think. I mean, they don't accept donations. The only way I can ever give them money is to go to one of their restaurants and pay for their food.
Yeah, definitely.
They're just the most giving people I've really
the kindest, most beautiful, most supportive. Yeah. I mean, you know, I've created some vegan festivals, and they've helped me work on them. They stay up all night. They give of themselves. They don't ask for anything in return. Like you say, Supreme right. Master and her followers don't accept donations. So why? Why this character assassination in Veg News? I have respected this magazine for many years, but now, I don't know, it goes from hero to zero for me. And you were a writer for Veg News. Can you explain what's happening here, Will?
I cannot account for this article myself, and I really don't want to speculate on the motives of the publishers of Veg News, because I don't know what they are, honestly. I did have a chance to talk to them on Thursday. Madeline and I went in about an hour and a half and, you know, spoke to them about this article called Supreme Mystery, and expressed our extreme disappointment and just, you know, tried to find out what was going on. And basically, I think it's a combination of not really understanding, not making an effort, I think, to understand what Supreme Master Qinghai and the community of Supreme Master Qinghai is actually like. I mean, I don't think they went in and tried to understand them. And perhaps on some level they thought that controversy is a good thing. And I mean, my father was actually a newspaper man. I was born and raised in newspapers, and so I know that that's one of the things. Controversy sells papers, and you know, that, I'm not saying that that's why they did it, but it's just it's a little bit mysterious to me, because I think personally one of the reasons that Veg News has grown and become very loved is the positive support they've given to so many vegan books and businesses and celebrities and so forth. So to see them turn around and attack people who are, I think, in many ways, the very heart and soul of this movement. I mean, they're doing an enormous amount of work. And the Veg News staff, they don't really deny that. They didn't deny that when I spoke to them about it. They acknowledge that 160 Loving Hut restaurants is an incredible accomplishment. And I think they're sort of amazed and bewildered how they could have ever accomplished this when no one else has been able to do it. And I said it's because these people are really committed. They're not looking out for themselves. They really are here to give and to share and to bless the world.
And they're motivated by love and compassion for animals, you know?
Right.
I mean, that's which is the seed of this radio program. This starts from love for animals and grows from there. And there are such mischaracterizations in this article, though. It's just so bizarre that Veg News would stoop to calling them a cult and fringe group. Say they act out of fear. It's just horrible. And the fact that it would say, you know, the spiritually bankrupt find solace in her methods. I'm practically speechless.
Well, those are direct insults that seem completely unwarranted. And I also was very shocked and disheartened to see a magazine that we've grown to, you know, respect suddenly stoop so low to this kind of journalism. So one of the things I think it's important to mention, besides the importance, I think, of mentioning the enormous benefit that the Supreme Master Qinghai Association brings to the world, brings to the vegan movement, the helping of people. I just, for example, found out that in Haiti, they delivered 3,000 to 4,000 vegan meals daily for 3 months. This is a quarter of a million vegan meals that they gave to the Haitian people who were literally on the brink of starvation, and they paid for this all from by themselves. They did not ask for donations like everybody always does. They just paid for this out of their own pockets. This is the kind of people they are. They do it out of their, they get their money from Loving Huts and from their own work. They don't ask the public for money, and then they are giving literally hundreds of thousands, actually millions. Anything they have left over, they give to help hungry people, to help shelters, no-kill shelters, to help spread the vegan message.
Right, they're in Pakistan now.
Right.
They're in Pakistan now. They were the first ones at the World Trade Center disaster there. Supreme Master Qinghai has actually won awards from governors. I believe it was Iowa and Hawaii for relief with flooding.
Right.
These people are so undeserving of criticism. They should be praised and thanked by Veg News.
Right. I think that's something that I think part of the problem perhaps is that they don't have any public, they don't do any PR for themselves. They're, part of their teaching is to not blow their own horn. You know, they don't ever try to say, draw attention to themselves. It's a spiritual community where they believe in humility and just do, and just that, that helping others is natural, it's what we should do. And so they don't go around, they do everything very quietly and without trying to be, praised for anything. So I think all of this, in many ways, goes against the American sort of way we're taught to be here. We're supposed to be sort of competing and blowing our own horn all the time and trying to get more than others. And so I think perhaps Veg News sort of looked at them and said, this can't really be happening. There must be another angle here. And so they tried to expose them. And honestly, I think in trying to expose them, they really expose their own ignorance of what Supreme Master is actually doing. And I think in doing that, they did the whole movement a disgrace, a disservice, because I think really what our movement should do is move in the direction of their example. Now, their example is very simple. It's to spread the vegan message, period. Not to engage in fighting, not to engage in lobbying. Just spread the vegan message. Just get out there and make vegan meals, create awareness and consciousness about veganism, put on conferences that help bring experts together to discuss the benefits of plant-based diet and veganism, and just to do the work without any delay, and to do it with a sense of urgency and with a sense of love. And the other thing I just want to really emphasize, though, too, in this article is that I would honestly say that I think there are for sure things in this article that are not accurate. Even though they told me everything's been fact-checked, I'm writing about this right now, but very often the sources of so-called fact-checked things are not reliable. But in any event, even if what they say in here were actually true, there's really nothing of substance. Most of it is rumors and innuendos or perhaps things said by, a tiny, tiny percentage, maybe, one guy in San Jose who claims that his wife started acting strangely. I mean, these kinds of things are so ridiculous. They're just one person's uncorroborated statement. You know, I mean, I've said that, people say that about their wives or husbands all the time, But I mean, to pick these ridiculously tiny, minute,
anecdotal hearsay, and I've heard people, a number of people have contacted me who read the article, who were on the scene and really contradict what's said in the article, which is the article puts forth as fact, and there were people who were there. In fact, you're one of them, right? You're the article claims that she was claiming there'll be doomsday in the 1990s or something, and although I don't know how she benefits from that, nobody remembers that kind of perspective. But what upsets me, for example, in the article is how it turns things around. It says that the group uses fear tactics, and then it talks about that their presentation of global warming and climate change are the fear tactics. You know what I mean? It's I don't understand
right.
how educating the public about what's happening with global warming is a fear tactic.
Yeah, there's a lot of this kind of sort of nasty, jeering, mocking, kind of twisting of things in this article, which I really find very distasteful. It's almost like, you know, trying to ridicule someone publicly, and you can't really find anything, so you sort of mock them and bully them. And
yeah, look at her. She's giving money to animal groups and humanitarian causes. Look at her.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I think on some level, you know, they know that the Supreme Master people will never retaliate. You know, I mean, they're not going to fight back at this kind of stuff. Their whole way of being is to serve, and they're not ever going to try to defend themselves or do anything. They won't. And so I think that's why it's important for us who are not in the Supreme Master movement at all. Like, I'm not, you know, a Quantian practitioner or anything like that. I've been aware of her for actually 20 years. I've read quite a few of her articles over the years. I've watched a lot of her videos. I listened to a lot of her audios. I'm very familiar with her teaching. I've met, hundreds of her students. We've gone to her centers over the years. We've put on events together over the years. You know, Madeline and I live in an RV, and we travel all over the United States putting on vegan events and lectures and things. And we work together. We partner with them to put on events in libraries or in restaurants or in community centers. And they'll get
and
the people there.
They've all been so positive.
Yeah,
they've all been so
wonderful.
Positive promoting me. Now, Will, we're running a little short on time, so I actually want to continue our discussion. We may have to carry this interview over to next week's program. I do want people to go to worldpeacediet.org. You have in the upper left an article letters about the Supreme Mystery article, the opportunity for people to respond. People can also contact me on my Facebook page, Bob Linden. But let's continue this discussion, and we're going to carry it over to next week with Will Tuttle, author of The World Peace Diet. Again, go to worldpeacediet.org, the upper left corner.
Yeah, the upper left-hand corner, it says Veg News Supreme Mystery article. If anyone wants to click on that, they can read more.
Thank you so much, Dr. Will Tuttle. We'll talk to you again next week. Jason Miller coming up next on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. How now, no cow? Get hip to the strip. Primal Strips, the delicious, high-energy, high-protein, meatless snack from Primal Spirit Foods. When you're on the go, go with Primal Strips, the meatless meat alternative that even non-vegans love. Primal Strips have become a favorite with bicyclists, climbers, and outdoor enthusiasts. 100% vegan and kosher, no cholesterol, no GMOs, preservatives, or artificial colors. Voted best new vegetarian snack by Veg News. Primal Strips, 6 phenomenal flavors. Thai peanut, mesquite lime, teriyaki, hot and spicy, hickory smoked, Texas barbecue. Visit PrimalSpiritFoods.com. Visit your natural food store for Primal Strips.
Okay, this is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, Animal Liberation, Media Infiltration, for 9 years now. Listener supported, we have to purchase the airtime. Free speech is expensive. You can support the program with a tax-deductible donation at goveganradio.org or make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio. Mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. This program gives voice to the voiceless and the voices who are really out there working on behalf of animals and a better world. And Jason Miller is one of those people. Jason Miller lives in Kansas and is the senior editor and founder of Thomas Paine's Corner and a press officer for the North American Animal Liberation Press Office. He's the founder of Bite Club of KC, a grassroots animal rights activist group, which he started in 2009 in Kansas City. How are you, Jason?
I'm doing well, Bob. How are you?
Good, good. Glad to have you on the program today. It must be interesting to be an animal rights activist in Kansas, in the Midwest there, in the Bible Belt, in the home of anthropomorphism, right?
It's very interesting to say the least. I like to actually think of it as the Siberia of animal rights activism. They had several groups that preceded Bite Club over the years, from what I understand, and talking to a few of my allies who work with me now, and those groups just kind of collapsed and faded away. We're not really widely accepted here, our viewpoint. Not that animal rights is widely accepted anywhere, but in Kansas City in particular, you mentioned we're in the Bible Belt, in the heart of America here, with the anthropocentrism of Christianity, where obviously humans dominate and rule in that theology, and also in the heart of agriculture and factory farming. So we've got an uphill battle here.
Yeah, you can stay busy there. Of course, if you take a Bible out to the folks and show them Genesis 1 verse 29, God said to be vegan. So, you have the Bible on your side there if you if you open it up for the folks. So, what issues have been concerning you right now?
Well, right now, we're in the midst of a pretty long and intense campaign that we're waging against the University of Kansas Medical Center, which is a local, it's a teaching hospital. It's a division of the University of Kansas, which is the major university in the state of Kansas. But what they're doing there is primate research or vivisection. And the program is modest size or medium size. It's not one of the larger primate research centers in the country, but there are two things about them that really prompted me to start this campaign. Number one, they have been flying under the radar for a long time. They were very underexposed in terms of the fact that they even had this research going on. And number two, about a year ago, they were cited for 160 violations of the animal welfare laws by the USDA. And that is a huge number. That's just a ridiculously large number. And since that time, Michael Budke's group, Stop Animal Exploitation Now, has continued to monitor them through the publicly available information on the USDA website. And in May of this year, they filed a formal complaint against them. They still haven't cleaned up their act. So that's primarily where we've been focusing.
Well, what have you been doing? What actions have you been taking in your campaign against it?
Well, we've done many, many demonstrations. One was a home demonstration that actually prompted the three of the vivisectors to get temporary restraining orders against me, TROs, which, as you're probably aware, is a common tactic that people use. Exploiters use to cripple or shut down activists and/or get them arrested. And in fact, this coming Thursday, I believe it is on the second, we have a hearing, and I've got an attorney working on my behalf. We decided that we were going to, well, he's doing most of the work, but he's filing a brief, and we're fighting this TRO based on First Amendment grounds. And I don't know that that's ever been done. We're challenging it on a constitutional basis, saying it's a violation of an activist's First Amendment rights for an exploiter of some type to just go out and arbitrarily file this. Basically, it's a stalking order, an order of protection. It's an abuse of the law. It was intended to protect people from stalkers or jilted lovers or psycho exes, people of that nature, not from someone who is protesting an action that they're taking. So that's what we're doing right now. And
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, we've done a lot of protests and demonstrations. One of the interesting things that we did, we set up on the campus before I was banned from the campus, they issued a criminal trespass warning to me and said that the next time I set foot on campus, I'd be arrested for criminal trespassing, which is a misdemeanor, which for me would mean a 12-month trip to jail because I'm on probation from a prior arrest from a previous campaign or charges related to a TRO, surprise, surprise. But before I was banned from campus, we set up a cage, a large cage, and I was in there with one of my dogs, and we dared the University of Kansas Medical Center to come and research on us instead of the primates, which got a lot of media attention. Another event that we had, we went through some heavily trafficked areas on a Saturday night where a lot of people, they're hot night spots, and we went out amongst the people and distributed information about what the University of Kansas Medical Center was doing. And to draw attention, I was handcuffed, gagged, and blindfolded, and I was wearing a sign that said they can't shackle, blind, or gag the truth. So we've been pretty busy. We've hit them pretty hard.
Mm. So you've had a pretty hard time then with arrests, subject of an FBI investigation, now you're on terrorist watch list for trying to help animals?
Well, that's my understanding. First of all, the FBI investigation is a definite. That's just not just my understanding. They've interviewed quite a number of people in my life that I know of. I'm sure there are a number of others they've talked to who haven't told me about it, but they've talked to coworkers, they've talked to family members, they've talked to other activists. This has been going on dating back to last July. They've taken quite an interest in me, and from what I understand, I happened to get a copy of a police report, and evidently when they run my name in the police database, it comes up that I'm on some type of a terrorist watch list, and to handle me with extreme caution.
Mm.
So
I guess I must warn the listeners now, anybody listening to this program, you may be in violation of the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act by listening to this show, apparently. So very bizarre that, I mean, you're an above ground, you're a writer, an activist, and you know, on what basis are you investigated?
Very good question. I think that it may have something to do with my, well, I can't really say their ties. They're my very indirect connection with the underground direct action through the press office, which if anybody has done their homework, they know that we're proponents of the underground, and we act as one of their voices by publishing case that they send us and putting it into context. We act as their media on the Internet. We speak to the media on their behalf, but we don't know any of those people, and we don't engage in any of those activities. So, you know, it may be that connection. It may be the fact that I've openly supported the philosophy of underground direct action. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. And so we'll talk a little bit about your support of that philosophy, and I think that you say the goal is vegan anarchism. Is that how you frame it?
Yeah, that would be accurate. I mean, ultimately, I think what we first of all need is a society or a civilization where we bring animals into our moral sphere and at least give them the basic rights of freedom from exploitation, torture, and murder, and essentially a nonviolent society and as democratic and egalitarian society as we can create. That's based on mutual aid and respect, and each according to their needs and their ability. And I suppose that may sound a little utopian in nature, but I think ultimately, if the human race or the human species is going to survive, I think our hand will be forced. I think we'll have to evolve into that. I just don't think obviously what we're doing now is not even close to sustainable.
And talk about support for direct action.
Well, I support whatever is affected in evoking change, and I think that we need all any and all tactics that we can apply, anything from writing a letter to signing a petition to standing on the corner with your bullhorn screaming.
That gets me arrested all the time. I have my freedom of speech issues with that. I have two cases at Beverly Hills and Anaheim right now, but I digress. Sorry to interrupt there. Go ahead.
No problem. As you said at the beginning of the show, free speech can be very expensive. So, and even something like going into the courtroom, like I'm going to do with my attorney on Thursday, and challenging these TROs, using the legal system as corrupt as everyone knows it is at so many levels, and obviously as loaded as the deck is against animals in our legal system, we can still use the legal system, any type of activism that one can think of, all forms of creative activism, of course, I've covered all the legal, or I'm speaking of legal above ground types of activism like you and I do, but then I'm also a proponent of the illegal and underground as well, because I think freeing minks, rescuing exploited animals and destroying the tools of exploitation is just as valid a form of activism and just as effective and just as important. And I think everybody needs to decide where their talents and abilities and resources will take them and what they're willing to do.
We have maybe about a minute left. I don't know if you wanted to talk about the hunting in Shawnee, Kansas, or you have also a vivisector who's working on dogs at Ohio State University, or and certainly let people know how to contact you or be aware of what your information you're putting out.
Well, they can contact me at my email address is willpowerful@hotmail.com. It's just the word willpower with F-U-L at the end at hotmail.com. Or they can Google search Thomas Paine's Corner or Bike Club of KC. And as far as mentioned the deer campaign, unfortunately that campaign was not successful. It had some successes, but they were moral victories and successes for the movement. They did not result in saving the deer.
We're up against the clock here. Let's take a break and maybe we can spend a few more minutes together. So hang on for me here. Okay, it's Go Vegan with Bob Linden. We've been talking to Jason Miller, and he's the editor and founder of Thomas Paine's Corner. He's also a press officer for the North American Animal Liberation Press Office. Before the break, Jason, we were talking a little bit about a campaign to save the deer in Shawnee, Kansas, and you were saying that was not successful.
No, unfortunately not. I mean, there were some moral victories in the sense that my allies and I implemented some tactics strategies that were unique and creative and hadn't been tried before, and we did get them to postpone it, and we made it miserable for the exploiters to get it done, but they finally went ahead and did it.
Doing what?
They slaughtered. I call it a slaughter. They call it a cull. They reduced the deer population in a large suburban park. There were about 400 deer, and they killed 313 deer in 3 nights. They hired a professional deer murderer.
And the creative tactics you used at that time?
Oh, it's several things. I mean, we put up two different billboards, and we closed the park down in an act of civil disobedience where they refused to arrest us. We had a banner, and we closed the entrance on a Sunday afternoon. The media was out there, and it was all over the media. We had I delivered a severed head publicly to the Parks and Recreation director, who was the ultimate decision maker, because I call that tactile activism. I wanted people to see. The media was there for that as well. I wanted people to see, actually get beyond the abstract and recognize that there were going to be over 300 of these deer heads scattered around our peaceful suburban park.
Well, but people like that think of it as a gift. Oh, thank you for the wall ornament, right?
Right, right. Yeah, unfortunately they do.
Crazy. Yeah. So. Now you're also concerned about animal experimentation going on at Ohio State University.
Absolutely. This recently came to my attention, but evidently this has been going on for a number of years. There's a vivisector there, and his name escapes me.
George Billman.
Thank you. He is doing heart research on dogs. He's cutting into the hearts and putting cuffs on their arteries, and he's subjecting them to stress tests and inducing heart attacks and ultimately killing them this way.
Basically, he puts a cuff on the artery and has the dogs on a treadmill, right?
Exactly, yeah, that's my understanding of it.
Yeah,
just utterly barbaric and unnecessary. I mean, how much more do we need to learn or understand it? I mean, what do we need? Why do we need to torture these dogs? We recognize that that's going to cause a heart attack in a human being. I mean,
that's not the way most humans get a heart attack. They usually don't have their chest opened up and put a cuff around the artery and then you put them on a treadmill. It's usually their diet. So, you know, that's insane. And my understanding is that he's gotten almost $2 million in taxpayer money. He's used 768 dogs. And I'd like to encourage listeners to encourage George Billman to retire from this, this is horror that he's inflicting on dogs. His email address is Billman, B-I-L-L-M-A-N, @osu.edu. You can write George Billman. He's not even an MD. He's a PhD. So I don't know. He's philosophical about inducing heart attacks in dogs. I don't know. Jason, I don't know. And we get arrested, right? We're the terrorists.
Right,
we're the terrorists here. Well, this guy is doing this to almost 800 dogs. You can write George Billman, 304 Hamilton Hall, 1645 Neil Avenue, N-E-I-L Avenue, Columbus, 43210. Okay, well, thank you for being on the right side there. Really appreciate it, Jason, and what you're doing for the animals. So we encourage people again to go to Thomas Paine, Thomas Paine's Corner. And then again, the website for the North American Animal Liberation Press Office, too. So thanks for being with us today, Jason.
All right. Thanks a lot for all you do, Bob.
Thanks again, Jason. Thank you, Truly. And Truly wants to thank you. It's September, and Truly Vegan Restaurant would like to thank its customers for 6 years of support. It's 15% off all orders over $10 every day in the month of September. And Truly is open every day, 7 days a week, from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. It's Truly Vegan's way of saying thank you for letting us bring you great vegan food right to the heart of Hollywood for 6 years, 5907 Hollywood Boulevard at Bronson. It's right at the Hollywood Boulevard exit off the 101. Delivery is available. In appreciation, 15% off all orders over $10 every day in September. Truly Vegan is truly wonderful. You'll love it too. Everybody has for 6 years. It's the gathering place of the Hollywood creative types, you know, and a full menu from breakfast, lunch, dinner, pancakes to enchiladas, burgers, fries, wraps, soups, complete international menu. I really love the oriental salad there, the mung beans on that. And you can go to the website. It's trulyvegan.net, trulyvegan.net. For archives and podcasts and to donate online, please visit goveganradio.org. Greetings, Bob Linden here with the Go Vegan Friday feature on Green 960. Don't miss Go Vegan with Bob Linden this Sunday at 3 p.m. Our examination continues of the bizarre, baffling, unjustifiable journalistic blunder of San Francisco-based Veg News, inexplicably running an attack article attacking a beloved, globally popular spiritual teacher from Asia and her followers, prompting worldwide condemnation of Veg News. How does a high-flying popular magazine sink its reputation overnight? This Sunday, Go Vegan with Bob Linden examines a very strange cult, the cult of vegan-hating vegan journalists, vegans who think the best way to help the vegan movement is to hurt the vegan movement, vegans who think vegan restaurants are a bad idea. Oh, I think I need a PhD for me to sort this out. So Dr. Will Tuttle, with a PhD from Berkeley, will join the discussion, although Dr. Tuttle seems to be quite outraged by this Veg News article himself. And do you know what it takes to outrage someone who wrote a book called The World Peace Diet, which has been number one Amazon bestseller? Outraged author of World Peace Diet, this Sunday at 3 p.m. on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Oh, my conflict of interest disclaimer here. One of the many good things that the good people who were wrongfully attacked by the Veg News article do is they support Go Vegan with Bob Linden by advertising their vegan restaurants, such as Vegetarian House at 520 East Santa Clara in downtown San Jose. Visit vegetarianhouse.us, also Loving Hut Vegan Restaurants, and you can go to lovinghut.us. Please support them by eating there. They won't take donations, but I will, and free speech is expensive. You can make a tax-deductible donation online at goveganradio.org. Also on this week's program, Jason Miller of Thomas Paine's Corner and the North American Animal Liberation Press Office on your taxpayer money funding heart attacks for dogs. It's Labor Day weekend, so what's the most dangerous labor in America? It is slaughterhouse worker. There's pig in your kosher halal meat and dairy, so can it really be kosher or halal? And what is the other white meat? Well, you'll be surprised, according to one Canadian pig farmer. And what do you think human flesh would taste like? This week on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Support Progressive Talk Radio as you support Go Vegan with Bob Linden. We have to purchase the airtime each and every week for archives and podcasts. And to make a tax-deductible donation, go to goveganradio.org. Make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio. Mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco 94147.